And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, Farm Days. I had this plan for yesterday. I don't know if you've seen some of what's happening to farmers, or maybe some of y'all out there, by the way, are in agriculture yourself. But it's amazing to me what liberals believe they can do. It's like they don't, I'll be honest with you, I think part of it is they don't take farmers serious. I mean, I don't know where they think their food comes from, but it's like they just, like they, you know, well, you know, just Joe the farmer, what does he really know? Yeah, have you seen the science of agriculture, in especially in modern times? I mean, the GPS technology that goes into row cropping right now, or for that matter, the ability to replenish the soil, to maintain the fields, to know how to rotate your crops. And I mean, it's on and on and on. Doesn't matter what part of agriculture you're in, whether it be cattle farming or poultry, or like I said, row cropping of any kind, it's a business. In Alabama alone, poultry is like a $1 billion industry just by itself. And all the things that we go to market to get, all of us, all God's children who don't grow their own, I'm just telling you, you're going to market, you're having to buy something, you can thank a farmer. In fact, I really ought to find, have you ever heard that thing, Boomer, that Paul Harvey did years ago called Thank a Farmer? A God Made a Farmer, that's what it's called, God Made a Farmer.
Actually, I have not.
I may have to find that. That may become part of the segment, I don't know. But it's several minutes long, but it's amazing. It's just basically just... Paul Harvey used to be a guy who did radio commentary.
Yes, I know Paul Harvey.
And he had a voice that was distinctive. I mean, like people, and something about his voice just made you kind of want to stop and listen. But he had this thing he did called God Made a Farmer, and it was so good. But listen, right now what we're seeing so often is that farms worldwide are really being, you know, put under the thumb of big government with green policies that are just suppressing the ability of farmers to do what farmers have done for thousands of years. Story here off the BBC. Some of y'all may have heard about the Dutch protests. And by the way, these were not small protests. These were like, I'm talking about Dutch farmers blocking entire highways with row upon row of combines that they just parked or drove very slowly and wouldn't let people pass, dumping massive loads of manure near the nation's capitals. But it was all because they're being basically shut down by the government. Dutch farmers, it says by the BBC, July 29th, Dutch farmers have been generating global headlines with protests described by the prime minister as, quote, willfully endangering others, damaging our infrastructure, and threatening people who help with the cleanup. Well, it says this proud farming nation is under immense pressure to make radical changes to cut harmful emissions, and some farmers fear their livelihoods will be obliterated. That's the problem. They say farmers are responding, like one third-generation farmer named Gert-Jan Kloosterboer. He says, look, you got to be fair. It takes time. Give me a chance. In other words, talking about the things that they're trying to do, they're saying, like, how do you expect me to do this overnight? He talks about farming. He's a third-generation guy. He says, when we talk about farming, it's just stress. I want them to have a choice, my kids, he says, not for the government to make that choice for him. Dutch government proposals for tackling nitrogen emissions indicate a radical cut in livestock. If you're a cattle farmer, right now they're estimating that Dutch farms, 11,200 of them, will have to close. And 17,600 farmers will have to significantly reduce their livestock. Other proposals include things like a reduction in intensive farming and a conversion to sustainable green farms. Let me tell you, last night I was at the house and Charlene bought, and you know, she almost took issue with the fact that I said something about it, because I'm going to tell you right now, at my age, I might as well take a double-stuffed Oreo and just duct tape that sucker to my waist, because that's where it's going to go. But she bought some double-stuffed Oreos, knowing that I am a sucker for double-stuffed Oreos. And I got the pack out last night. I thought, man, that just sounds good. Double-stuffed Oreos. And by the way, once you've had double-stuffed Oreos, you're not going back to regular Oreos, I'm just saying. But double stuffed Oreos, and on the outside of the pack, a special little seal that says, made with sustainable cocoa. I'm like, what the heck does that mean? Made with sustainable cocoa? Well, it's one of those things they're doing right now to prove that they are in the green environment right now, with farms that only do things with green, sustainable policies. Well, how about this story from, okay, I kid you not. This one could win a Cacistocracy Award. Fox Business, October 11th. That's yesterday. New Zealand government proposes taxing cow burps and pee to tackle climate change. I kid you not. New Zealand announced Tuesday a proposal to tax greenhouse gases that farm animals produce. How are they going to measure this? How are they going to do this? Including burping and peeing as part of its efforts to address climate change. Can you imagine being a cattle farmer and finding out that you're going to be taxed for the number of times that your cow allegedly burps? Just saying. According to the country's government, the proposed tax on farms would be the first in the world, you think? It also said that farmers should be able to regain the cost by upping the prices of climate-friendly products. You know what that means? The consumer. You get to pay for someone's misguided notion that cow burps are destroying the world. The move drew the ire of New Zealand farmers, with the Federated Farmers, the industry's largest lobbying group, saying the plan would rip the guts out of small-town New Zealand farms. New Zealand's farming industry is crucial to the country's economy, dairy products being the nation's largest export earner. The country has approximately 10 million beef and dairy cattle and 26 million sheep. New Zealand's government has vowed to cut greenhouse gas emissions and make the country carbon neutral by 2050. The whole country, carbon neutral. As part of that plan, the country said that it would reduce methane emissions from farm animals by 10%. Oh, Lord. And by up to 47% by 2030, by up to 47% by 2050. I'm not kidding. Here's a quote. Tell me what this even means. This is Cacistocracy right here. New Zealand farmers, this is a quote from the Prime Minister of New Zealand. New Zealand's farmers are set to be the first in the world to reduce agricultural emissions, positioning our biggest export market for the competitive advantage that brings in a world increasingly discerning about the provenance of their food. No. The world, Boomer, are you overly concerned about the provenance of your food?
Absolutely.
Do you even know what that means?
I have no.
Most people, I mean.
I don't even know what that means.
The provenance of your. All that means is you're going to pick up the packet and see where this comes from to make sure you understand that it was sourced through a green energy related farm.
I want to know. I mean, I'm sure there are a couple people out there that look for those things, but I mean,
like
really,
sustainable cocoa on your double stuffed Oreos.
I mean, but really, who sits there at the store and actually tries to find that?
So let me ask you a question.
I'm ready.
All right. If you's going to buy a steak,
ooh,
and you went on in, and you went up to the meat market, and you went on in and you looked at it and you said, ribeye looks good. All the marbling, ooh, it looks so good. Ooh. I'll grill that sucker up.
Yes.
Yeah. And it cost, I don't know, let's just throw a number out there, $8.
Okay.
All right. Right next to it, there's one that comes from a farm from whose provenance you could discern that they have followed green policies, and it costs $11. Which one are you going to buy?
Well, I'm going to go with the $8 one.
$8?
Yeah.
Because you don't care rat squat about what the provenance of your steak is.
No, I don't care if it spoke a different language before it butchered. Yeah.
I want some of that Japanese beef that speaks that Japanese. All right. Okay. This is the kind of stuff that's happening, but I'll go one step further. I'll take it there. I'm not afraid. Right Side Radio will address the topics as they come. Story, this dates back to 2014. Forgive me, but it does, and it's so worth it. From Audubon Society, from their website, audubon.org. Argentinian scientists have got it in the bag. All 80 gallons of it, the amount of methane produced by the average cow per day, can be used to generate electricity, heat, and power for a refrigerator or a car engine. They call it enteric fermentation, or methane-producing conversion of food that takes place in the stomach of certain animals. Basically, the headline of this article is, cow fart-catching backpacks could help curb global warming. That's the headline of this article. I kid you not. But, folks, this is the kind of stuff that they're putting on farms. I'm not done. I got a ways to go. I tell you what, though, I will say this. That was 2014. You may be interested to know, though, that most recently in thehill.com, this is actually 2 years ago, February of 2019, 3 years ago, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Democrat from New York, sought to explain a recent document from her office that linked farting cows to climate change. I kid you not. Headline, Ocasio-Cortez explains the farting cows comments. We've got to address factory farming. Okay. It says a set of frequently asked questions released by her office that month as part of the rollout of her Green New Deal proposed to fight climate change mentioning cow flatulence as a problem. Remember when I did the skit, Boomer? I told you, cow flatulence.
You told me. They're like, you worried. Said this. Was it like last week or 2 weeks ago? It was all about the
it was
cow
all
farts.
Cow farts. Monkeypox.
Oh,
cacistocracy.
Goodness.
Here's the quote from Senator. No, this is the document from Ocasio-Cortez's office. Quote, we set a goal to get to net zero rather than just zero emissions in 10 years because we aren't sure that we'll be able to fully get rid of farting cows and airplanes that fast. Farting cows and airplanes. I never thought that I would hear in one sentence the words farting cows and airplanes. I mean, back in the days when I was in youth ministry, this would have been gold. The very idea that I could have an article that said farting cows and airplanes in one sentence. I'm just telling you, my youth ministry would have been the highlight.
This would have been awesome. the news article I would have taken to class that we had to do every week.
Yeah.
I would have taken this one.
Yes. To Ferris Hall's class.
To Ferris Hall's class.
Ferris Hall's class. And say, what's your article today there, young boomer?
Well, I have one about farting cows and airplanes. And then the class would have gone.
Oh, this is devolving fast. All right, Boomer, take us to a break. We're going to come right back, though. It does get serious, by the way. I'm making fun of these knuckleheads that everything revolves around the Green New Deal. And if you think for a second that farting cows are the end of the earth, well, I got news. It ain't so. But I got more. Real stuff. What's happening with green policies being foisted on farms, and what's happening with the farms, and what does that do to us as the consumers? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. We got some great texts, and just a number of them coming through. Some are sending me links about, you know, cow flatulence. and another one, where'd it go? Raven from Russellville says, if we could channel all the old man flatulence, we could power the world for 1,000 years, and as an old man, he's willing to do his part. So... okay, serious business. Serious business. Back on it, farm days. Article here from farmequipment.com. I mean, I'm going to one of the sources. So I went into agribusiness to find some of their own commentary. Piece came out 2 days ago, October 10th. Its headline is, Dear Mr. Legislator, here's what dealers want you to know about green energy. So what they did was they took all of the new green energy policies and the intents that are being foisted upon farms and farm managers and the entire agricultural sector, and they began to poll the people who provide the equipment, because we're talking about a massive changeover. If you're gonna have a carbon neutral footprint on a farm, what does that mean? Well, all of the farms that run on, you know, some form of combustion engine, they're talking about changing over to electric and whatever. And that's a huge deal. And so they asked them for their own response. I've got 3 pages of responses. I'm not going to go into all of them. Just a few of them I'll grab out of there. It's not favorable, let's put it that way. One of them responded back with the question was this. Given the current push for electric-powered equipment amidst other green technologies, what message do policymakers or manufacturers most need to hear about the practical operation of farm equipment? One response, how practical are these new technologies in our industry? Long hours, limited battery life, little infrastructure. Seasonal use requires a level of reliability and dependability. And like most political discussions, do they even understand what's required? Great questions. How about this response? They need to create the infrastructure and have it in place before they try to purchase, before they try to force the purchase of units that use alternative power sources. Indeed. Can you imagine what it's going to take to power a combine that's electric? I don't. And then, oh, by the way, what if it begins to run dry of power in the middle of, you know, of going through the fields, what do you do? And then if you have to charge it overnight, but you've got a select time to get your harvest in or whatever else, or you see weather coming through and you got to do what you got to do at a certain point, but it's still charging, what do you do? Here's one response. How green is the electric when we need to use other resources to reinforce the grid then to support it in the charging area? Uh-huh. How about this one? What will it cost to use or recharge? Yeah, the fact that the current electric grid cannot support the current push convert to electric. This one just flat out said it. The green people are wrong. They are imposing an incredible cost on the sane people in America. I'm just telling you, this goes on for three pages, and I did not find anybody that said, we're so excited and we look forward to these new opportunities to buy all new equipment for our farms simply because someone thinks it's scary. CNBC.com. Okay, it's CNBC, so you can imagine. But when you hear them say it in their own words, So dated February 12th of last year, 2021, when Biden was just taking office, President Joe Biden has called on U.S. farmers to lead the way in offsetting greenhouse gas emissions to battle climate change, a goal fourth-generation cattle rancher Lauren Poncia set out to achieve over a decade ago. So they reached out and they found the one that's like, I've been doing this for 10 years. It's awesome. Okay. Despite working in the beef sector, a big contributor to global warming, the article says, Poncia has transformed his Northern California ranch into one of the few carbon-positive livestock operations in the country. It's a win-win, says Poncia, for the environment and for our pocketbook. I want to know how much a steak costs from beef on Poncia's farm. Says experts estimate that farmers across the world can sequester a large enough portion of carbon through regenerative agricultural practices to avert the worst impacts of climate change. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, research suggests removing carbon already in the atmosphere and replenishing soil worldwide can result in a 10% carbon drawdown. The United Nations, that harbinger of good thought, the United Nations has warned that efforts to curb global emissions will fall short without drastic changes in global land use and agriculture. Do you hear that? The United Nations is saying we're not going to meet their goals for global emissions unless there are sudden and, in their own words, drastic changes in global land use and agriculture. The article goes on to say that farmers have been struggling as they battle climate change because it never rained before all of this. And we never had occasional droughts before all of this. And we certainly didn't see heavy storms before any of this. It's all new. Farmers have never had to deal with weather ever in the history of ever. Story from farmprogress.com, dated November of last year. Are you familiar, by the way, with Waters of the U.S.? It's a phrase that if you go to a, here in Alabama, go to an alpha meeting. Go to an alpha meeting and sit down with the folks at the various, you know, local chapters for alpha and just stand up in the room and say, Waters of the U.S., you're liable to have something thrown at you. Story headline, farmprogress.com, dated November of 21. In an effort to provide certainty as it rewrites what is defined as Waters of the U.S., the Environmental Protection Agency announced a proposed rule that would reestablish the pre-2015 definition of Waters of the U.S. Oh, man, we'll cover down on this when I get back. You're going to love this. Stock ponds, all kinds of things. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, we got the state, we got the national, sometimes the international. And I'm saying we cover down on all the issues, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Boomer, I did not know this. This is not planned.
What's that?
I mean, so we're doing this whole section right now on, I call it Farm Days, happening to farmers. Mm-hmm. Today is actually National Farmers Day.
What? Is it
really? I did not know this. I was just checking like Twitter and all that kind of stuff during the break, and I'm looking over there, and it's like hashtag National Farmers Day. I'm like, what?
Today?
It's today. Well, that worked out perfect.
Well, okay. Out of all the days.
This show just does stuff. We're so good, we don't even know we're good sometimes. It's just amazing. I know we got a caller on the line, but let me just do this. Y'all ready? Okay, here's the deal. The text line is 833-68-RIGHT. 833-68-RIGHT. And we have 85,000 plus downloads now of the podcast, so we're celebrating the first three people that text the words, "I'm a right side ruffian," to our text line, 833-68-RIGHT. We got t-shirts. And we only have, by the way, we only have in stock large, extra large, and double X. All right, so large, extra large, and double X. Am I correct, Boomer?
Correct. And right. Those first three people will get a response.
All right, the first three people, Boomer's going to respond to you. So text it in, 833-68-RIGHT. You got to say, "I'm a right side ruffian." We got a t-shirt for you. We'll get them out in the mail right away. I got a caller on line one, though, Boomer. Let me grab that real quick. Thomas from Athens. Hey, Thomas, Phil Williams, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. I am a right side ruffian. Can't text and talk at the same time.
Sorry, hey, brother.
Two things. That's all right, man. Two things. This farmer, this cattleman that you referenced, that's been doing this, quote, for 10 years, unquote.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to bet he didn't get income from his farm to do that, either had inherited income, or I bet dollars to donuts he got a grant.
Oh.
And if he got a grant some years ago to do this, I bet there were some others that got grants to do this, and maybe they weren't as successful, but they rolled the one guy out.
That's a solid analysis on your part, and I think you're probably right. The government subsidization of this kind of stuff is unreal. They can't sustain it usually without subsidizing it. And Thomas, I got to find out. I'm going to see if I can Google his name and find out more about him. But that's a good point. Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
What else?
Two more things. Because it's National Farmers Day and you're doing Farmers Days, I think that's called inquity, a new word for your catastrophe. Okay. But
nice.
Look up propinquity. That's exactly what's happening today.
Propinquity.
First thing,
right.
There's a little bit of good news. There's a little bit of good news. The snail darter, which has held up so many development projects down in, I think, around the Coosa, is no longer threatened.
Well, glory day. I mean, it's a whole new the red cockaded woodpecker next, I guess. But all right, Thomas, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. I got to look up that word, propinquity. I got to look that up here in a minute. All right, texts are coming in, man. I see them flooding the text line. And by the way, you can't cheat and say I'm an RSR. It's I'm a right side ruffian. You got to text the words. But anyway, we got some folks in there. By the way, we're not checking spelling. We won't do that. But you got to spell. You got to at least try. So anyway. All right. Hey, we're still in number one of the Triple Dipper. While Boomer is working the phones and taking the text messages, doing the T-shirt thing. And we'll do T-shirts again later in the show, too. Just know this. Waters of the United States is a phrase that strikes fear in the hearts of farmers everywhere. Because what happened is, under the Obama administration, the EPA and the Department of the Army Corps of Engineers went hog wild with reclassifying what were known as waters of the United States. And they began to protect waters that no one ever would have thought about being protected. Things like stock ponds on your farm, intermittent streams that only flow after a good rain. I mean, it's not a navigable water. What the heck? Grassy waterways. Grassy waterways. And isolated bodies of water on farms. Okay. This was all happening. Trump came in and changed it because he knew what it was doing. It was burdening farms. It was limiting their capacity to irrigate their fields, water their stock, do the things that you would normally do on waters that the U.S. government has no business trying to intervene on. Well, in June of 2021, under the Biden administration, guess what happened? EPA and the Department of the Army announced their intent to revise the definition of waters of the United States again and go back to the Obama era. So that has been happening, and immediately the lawsuits began to fly in. I've got a press release here that was released in February of this year by Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, who, along with 23 other states, I hope Alabama was in the mix, submitted a comment to the EPA saying that the Obama-era Waters of the U.S. rule was a disaster for Missouri's farmers and ranchers, and his office will stand firm against any attempt by the Biden administration to return to that level of government intrusion and overreach. Y'all, this was not a little bit of government intrusion. This was like coming in and saying you can no longer water your cattle in that pond, even if you're the one that dug the pond. I'm just saying. It got to the point of being not just ridiculous, it was burdensome. It was oppressive. In 2015, it says under the Obama administration, the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers issued a sweeping Waters of the U.S. rule that overinterpreted the agency's authority and vested regulatory power to the agencies to oversee and regulate a massive amount of the country's, quote, navigable waters, which could even be interpreted to mean dry creek beds and trickling streams. He says that rule would have granted the federal government authority to regulate massive swaths of Missouri land. 2019, of course, Trump repealed it. 2021, the Biden administration is trying to do it again. There you go. Constant. It's constant. One last thing to wrap up this segment. New York Post ran a piece in July of this year that the headline is, "The Green Food Fight Over Farms Will End a Disaster." Let me tell you, if you haven't seen it, go look at Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka, earlier this year, is a classic case of what happens when you have like governments like New Zealand, when you have even governments like in the United States, when you have like the Dutch farmers dealing with their government. When it gets so bad that an entire sector of the economy goes under, it causes societal collapse. This is not a little bit. This is not like, I'm not just making this up. Just in time, this is a story from the New York Post. Just in time for the Ukraine war to hammer global supply, the insane Green Crusade is choosing its next target, that is food. It says from Sri Lanka to the Netherlands, green extremists are implementing, in the name of stopping climate change, agricultural policies that are already having disastrous effects. It says take Sri Lanka's 2021 ban on the import of chemical fertilizers. Predictably, the nation's farming sector, on which the vast majority of its citizens depend economically, collapsed. Yields plummeted, food prices skyrocketed, political unrest exploded, riots occurred. It led to the ouster of the president of the country who had instituted the ban and thought he was going to be this green new savior of the world, except it proved everything just the opposite. And the Dutch government is going down that road now, and New Zealand is going down that road now. And too often we're seeing that the price of what it takes to run a family farm in the United States is going that way now. I think I can just go ahead and end it there. I will tell you this, just the cost. I had one of the listeners text me in earlier. It's so far down the text line because of all the T-shirt folks right now that I won't try and find it. I had one that just sent me in that the cost of a new John Deere combine is roughly $900,000 to $1 million. $900,000 to $1 million for one combine. If you have a family farm and you have to heavily leverage your farm assets in order to get the new equipment that it takes to be compliant with Green New Deal policies, then I'm just saying, what they're going to do is drive farms into the ground. And you and I, who aren't in the farming industry, but we eat the produce, and we eat the meat, and we crack the eggs, we're going to be the ones who are paying for it. This has got to stop. I don't mind them finding new and improved ways, but like most of those farmers' comments said in that one farm industry journal that I gave you all the comments from, with regard to switching over to green policies on farms. They want to know, how can this possibly happen when the grid is not even ready to sustain it yet? And I agree. What that basically means is we're not ready. But it seems like there is a rush. You saw the United Nations says we're going to have a drastic change in land use. So if you can't change the farms, what do you do? Well, you do like they do in Sri Lanka, or like they're doing in the Netherlands, or like they're doing in New Zealand. They just shut the farms down and put people out of work. All right. And on that happy note, Boomer, let's go ahead and take a break, brother. We'll do it right now. We'll come back. I'll switch gears. Big Tech Backlash. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. By the way, if you know a farmer, today is National Farmers Day. Say thank you. We'll be right back.